Beloved radio friends, in the precious and the worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we warmly greet you and welcome you to the Bible study today. We're coming near to the end of our study in the first epistle of John. We're in chapter 5, and today we will meditate upon verses 18 and 19. Here are the words written by the beloved apostle. We know that everyone or whosoever is begotten of God does not sin or practice sin, but he that has been begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the wicked one. May God bless the reading of these great words, divinely inspired and brought before us by the Holy Spirit, writing through His servant the Apostle John. Again, may we emphasize the opening words of this 18th verse that have been so frequently found in this epistle. We know. Again, we may state with confidence and assurance that it is possible for every man and woman, boy and girl, to know that they are saved. The word K-N-O-W is found in this wonderful book 27 times in our English version. And if we were to be able to read it in the Greek text, we would find it occurring a total of 42. We repeat this fact again with no apology, for we believe God wants His people to know that they have eternal life. In fact, may I repeat what we saw in the 13th verse? One of the great purposes that John wrote the epistle for. And if you were to follow the reading of the epistle through very carefully, you would find 7 scriptures telling why John wrote this epistle. But the closing reason that he gives is in chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written to you that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that whoso believe on the name of the Son of God. May I emphasize with joy in my heart, confidence in the Word of God, we can and we should know we have eternal life when we have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So again we come to the 18th verse, where once more we have the words introducing the verse, saying, we know. What is it here that we know? Why, we know what we could say, how a Christian should and must and will act who knows the Lord Jesus as his and her Savior. We know that everyone who has been born of God will not practice sin. Please let me state that again. For the Greek text suggests the meaning is, we know that whosoever is born of God does not make a practice of sinning. Now, beloved, we have every question to doubt any person who makes a practice of sinning and yet gives the testimony, makes the profession that he or she is a Christian. We have noted throughout this whole epistle, John emphasizes the necessity of being a genuine Christian, of proving by the evidence of the life that one has passed from death unto life. Did not the Lord Jesus say when he was upon the earth, by their fruits ye shall know them? And please may I give an earnest entreaty to any person who is professing to be a Christian, but who is not practicing Christian living at all. John on one occasion in our scripture said in chapter 2, If any man say, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, the same is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But to you, my beloved fellow believer, and to mine own heart, let us take home the true way in which a Christian will prove, with evidence in his and her life, that they have passed from death unto life, that they have been born of God. We do not practice sin. Furthermore, as you read the 18th verse further, you will find that he who has been begotten of God will seek to keep himself, so that the wicked one, meaning Satan, will not touch him. 'Twas the Apostle Jude who wrote at the end of his epistle, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now we recognize that a Christian cannot, neither does he keep himself or herself saved. But it is his responsibility to keep himself and herself away from the snares of the devil. James the Apostle said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now what John is declaring, as we have it, at the end of verse 18, the believer will keep himself. He will, in yieldedness, in obedience to the word of God, and devotion to his beloved Savior, gratitude to his eternal Father, he will endeavor by God's grace through his enabling spirit and the word to keep himself, whereby that wicked one, who is none other than Satan, will not touch him. We have no hesitancy to acknowledge the reality of Satan. May I remind you what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 6, when writing in verse 10, he says, be strong, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that we can recognize, there is divine provision, as Paul enumerates and recites in detail the great divine armor God has provided for his children against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high and heavenly places. So that the believer, the born-again one, by the grace and the help of God, will certainly see that he is endeavoring with the utmost aid of the Holy Spirit and grace from God and Christ above, and the word of God, to thus be victorious over the wicked one. What a characteristic name is given to this wicked one. Note particularly in the closing words of verse 19, John declares, we know that we are of God, but the whole world lies in the wicked one. My beloved fellow believer, may I pause with you to consider carefully, prayerfully, gratefully, that the one who has been born again, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, knows that he or she belongs to God. And furthermore, does not belong to that wicked one. Paul, writing to the Colossians, declared that the believer has been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of Satan, and has been brought into the kingdom of light, has been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. My beloved, may you and I realize the great deliverance that Christ has wrought on our behalf. Paul well wrote to the Galatians in chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. So you and I can recognize, we are not in that world. Positionally, in God's reckoning, the whole world that lies in the hands of the wicked one, God, by his grace and power through Christ and his death and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, has taken us out of that world. May I ask the question, my radio listener? Who do you think is the God of this world? Who do you consider to be what the Bible calls the prince of this world? And even the prince of one who is called the prince of the power of the air? None other than this great rebel against God, the hater of God and man, and that is Satan, the devil himself. And the very course of this world, the very character of this world, has been given to it by Satan. May I say very frankly, you and I will never make the world better and make it a place where there'll be no more sin and where there'll be no power from Satan. No, the course of this world is going on until the end of that course will be reached, and the finality of it is going to be our Lord Jesus is coming to take that wicked one and place him in the bottomless pit, according to Revelation chapter 20, where he will not trouble the nations anymore through the whole period of our Savior's millennial wonderful and glorious reign over the earth. But let me ask one question as we close. My radio friend, do you belong to that wicked one yet? Have you not yet trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Will you not reach out by faith and trust the Savior who died for you, who was given that he might destroy the works of the devil on your behalf and bring you to himself and to God his Father to be born of God and one of his children? God help you to trust the Savior and that today. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, honor thy word. Make it effective to the salvation of some soul, but the blessing of all thy people, in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.